That was Love the Disco, the new single from singer-songwriter Van Hector, and I'm delighted to be joined by Van on the line. Hello, Van.
Hello.
How's Montreal this evening?
It is, well, right here is the afternoon, obviously, but it's just wonderful. It's cold but and snowy, and we've got this beautiful, beautiful sunshine on the snow, on the fresh snow. It's actually quite exotic in a way.
Ah, sounds fantastic. I haven't got the hang of time zones yet, so yeah, of course, it's
right,
evening
right,
here.
Right.
Let's go back to the beginning. You've got a very well-travelled yes. life, haven't you? You grew up in a number of different countries.
Well, my father was French, and my mother, Georgian. My mother spoke English, and she wanted me to know English. And my father, of course, wanted me to go to a French lycée because he thought that was, I don't want to be a bitch about, you know, Canada, but he thought it was better than, the French system was actually a little bit better. So we ended up living in Montreal, where I could have both, the best of both worlds, and I could go to a French lycée, yet also go to another school on the side in English.
Okay, and that was sort of... In your early life, wasn't it? It was you switched between one and the other. Yeah,
always. And then we went to Florida a lot. We went to France a lot. We went to Cape Cod a lot. I was just French English, and so I think that to me, there's no, you know.
You've obviously been exposed to a lot of different cultures. When did you develop an interest in music? Was it a very early age?
I think pre-birth.
I get that.
I think rebirth. I think that. All right. My mother had a very rather hard. I always actually link it to that. My mother had a very, very hard pregnancy, and apparently she listened to a lot of disco, and that would make her feel good while she was pregnant. I don't know. I loved it. Apparently, I showed. You know, I just loved music. Apparently, I was just swinging to anything that was boppy from baby on.
So you went to college, you studied opera, literature and cinema as well. What inspired you to learn more about these things?
I didn't know what else to do, to be honest. And that's really all. Opera, I that's just because I got in and they wouldn't let me into rock. There were two programs. There was rock and there was opera. And I got into opera because they thought I had an operatic voice. And that lasted about 5 minutes, I always say, because right... In the midst of that, a punk band approached me to be a singer, and I decided to, you know, just drop everything.
Wow,
and
that is a very different career path, isn't it?
I felt I needed to do it. I felt I needed to do that, much to the dismay of my father, of course. But I needed to do it, and I went, and we just went, and we drank tequila, and I was screaming my lungs out all the time. And I'm pretty sure that was what I needed to be here right now.
Right. How did it go? Were you playing sort of small, sweaty clubs?
It was horrible. It was horrible. Yeah. It was just small, like, shall I be blunt? Should I really use the words I want to use?
Yeah, sure.
Am I allowed? All right. It was a very shitty... It's horrible. Horrible. And it was smoky and it was dirty. But I had come from some sort of, as you might say, some sort of like middle bourgeoisie of some sort, and I needed to get rid of that. Mm. I really did.
Okay, now you've obviously you've gone back to the disco obviously since then, so the music that you would have been listening to from day zero effectively.
Exactly.
Who are your inspirations? Are you looking back at the sort of 70s and particularly in the 80s, because your music has a very 80s feel about it?
I like the 70s and the 80s naturally. I try not to think about that anymore. I've always told, even I had an 80s voice, which makes, you know, I don't know. People, sometimes you define yourself through what people see in you. And so, oh, all right, I have an 80s voice. You know, maybe I do. And maybe they're right. I don't think about that. But you are, you have a point in saying that I do listen to a lot of 70s music. And as a kid and then as a teenager, I was obsessed with George Moroder and David Bowie.
Yeah, I was going to say, particularly with Moroder, that's the obvious starting point for a lot.
Yeah,
of music.
And not wanting to copy, but I think that you just listen to a lot of something and integrate it.
If you had to pick one record that had a massive effect on your life, what would it be?
It would be, although I don't like the full album, but it still would be "Bad Girls" by Donna Summer.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, again.
Not my favorite album, strangely, but there are four or five songs on there that I just know that is just always in my head. They're still to this day.
Now, you're mainly a singer and producer. Are you a musician as well? Do you play any instruments?
No, I don't play an instrument. Well, I composed my my vocal melodies on a keyboard, and I obviously do, you know, a little keyboard here and there, but I don't. I'm in a partnership with Eric Wiseman, who is the musician. So I'll just sing along, and then he finds the notes oftentimes.
That's probably the best way, isn't it? Now, we just played Love the Disco, which on the face of it is a very party-loving song, but there's a more serious message to it as well, isn't it? You're talking about sort of basically the earth dying in it.
I wrote this before I'd even heard of Greta. I think if you're a bit aware in 2020 or 2019, you kind of can't not think of it, you know?
I think it's a legitimate concern about the way the planet's going, isn't it? Yeah. You can't really trust people in charge.
No, of course not. And I don't think that I'll be so endangered as I'm not 18, but I do have even godchildren. I'm thinking, I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they find a solution, because this is not going well.
I mean, generally, though, your music is, you do try to keep it upbeat, don't you? It's not all doom and gloom, is it?
Well, because I am, I think I am dark. And so music is a way of, has always been a way of first of all, uplifting myself. And so even on, with a darker topic, I'll try to make the song happy.
Yeah, so it's happy, bouncy music, but there's a undercurrent all the way through it.
I think it's just a description of me, really. I'm a relatively happy person with oftentimes rather dark thoughts. So here we go.
I don't know you personally. All I can do is listen to your music, which I've done. So that's what
I'm telling you now. So.
You've also been collaborating with a New York underground cult DJ, Chelsea Dandridge, as well. How did that come about?
Sometimes I think you just meet someone. Some friendships are natural. I walked into the Stonewall Inn thinking, I'm in New York right now. I have to go to the Stonewall Inn. Who doesn't? I mean, just, this is a, you know, landmark. So I walked in and he just looked at me, and it was just like, he was like, hey, and I was like, hey, and we were friends right away. He invited me behind the DJ booth and this and that. And then at one point I wanted to do a write a duet with someone, and I picked him, and listened to a few tracks and said, let's make an album. And I said, are you crazy? I can't make a full album. This is too much work. And then of course he convinced me.
Yeah. What does he bring to the collaboration that you didn't have before? I mean, what is it about him as a DJ that you enjoy?
He will push me exactly where I need to be pushed at times. For instance, I just gave you an example right now. I'm like, all right, well, we'll do a song. I've always wanted to do a duet. Let's do a duet together. And then he's like, fine. 5 minutes later, let's do a full album. And I'm like, rah. And he'll just push me. He'll push me. No, go on stage now. You know, he'll be very, I love that he does that. He does it in a very gentle way. He's not brusque, you know. But he brings me, you know, he'll play the song at the club when I'm there, which I oftentimes hate. But he just pushes me, and I love it.
It's all positive pushing, isn't it?
Very much so. And I don't know what I do to him. I know I aggravate him deeply, but that's what friendships are made of, aren't they?
Definitely. Yeah. You've released some singles as well, haven't you?
Yes.
Than, obviously, we talked about Love the Disco, but you've released some other tracks, and you've released stuff with Chelsea as well. You talked about Stonewall, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I wrote an anthem to the Stonewall Inn. That was my first duet with him. It just depicted the mood I was in when I walked into that place and how at home I felt. I'm no drag queen, and I'm not. But then one of the drag queens who was rather famous there said, "Ooh, you are a male impersonator." And I thought, "Wow, that's actually true. She's right." And I just felt at home in that place, with DJ being on the top of the pyramid. It felt so good, and I decided to write what I thought would be somewhat, not trying to be pretentious, but somewhat of a Stonewall Inn anthem for 2020, and it's called 53 Christopher Street, the address of the place.
And it's gone down quite well, isn't it? I've seen some very good reviews about it online.
I know, but I think we don't take ourselves seriously. I think that's what makes us charming. I think Chauncey's, you know, I can't even look at Chauncey when I'm on stage with him because I'll burst. So I keep looking away.
B- bit like the Pet Shop Boys. They just stare in the same in different directions all the time.
Something like that, yes. Something like that.
What does the future hold in store for you? Do you have more releases planned? Any other collaborations?
Well, yes, I'm releasing another duet with Sansei in March for the first day of spring. I'll be back in New York to do that. And we have quite a few gigs there. And it's called The Delight. And then the full EP comes out for New York City Pride in late June. So that's on that front. And in my solo releases, I have something coming out in May called, it's on my Love Elastic album. And it's coming out in May. It's one of the singles. It's called Back in Vogue. It's an anti-grinder Tinder song.
Oh, okay. So it's a little bit more a little bit more romantic, that kind of thing. Well, it's like it's trying exactly to get away from the online thing. Yeah.
Well, because don't we hate it? I mean, so what is that? What kind of relationship is that? Like a catalog that you say yes, yes, no, 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 yes, yes, maybe. It's horrible, horrible. The chorus goes as like so. Before you know it, romance will be back in vogue.
Mm. Oh right, okay. So it is. It's definitely a sort of an anti-technology thing. Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Well, Van, great to chat to you on the phone today. Looking forward to all the new releases that are coming up. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on them. So keep in touch about all your future projects with us, and good luck with the music.
You know, it was a pleasure, and I have to say, because it's very familiar to me, I have some in my family, some of the English-speaking people in my family have an accent that resembles yours. You are absolutely divine to speak to.
That's very kind of you to say so. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day.